talking about is, as you can see, the bunk detecting principles. Just before I came, I actually picked up my son and my daughter-in-law from the airport with their three-month-old baby. And in preparation for them coming, I went to Costco. Behind me in the line, there was a lady standing, and she had her cart full of negative energy food and drink. So I thought, wow, this is, you know. So what I wanted to talk about was, well, how do we as scientists help the public to assess scientific claims? How can we help them to do that? Let's look at some claims that are out there. I heard on Christian radio about how broccoli is good for you. But they said, ladies, a lot of your husbands don't like broccoli, so you need to buy these broccoli pills. And you can give your husband a broccoli pill with his breakfast every morning. A lot of women buy specially expensive face creams that contain collagen. And they pay extra. How many older people take a baby aspirin every day because they've been told it'll stop or it'll prevent heart attacks? How many people have given up putting people in jail because physics has proved we don't have free will? We need to empty all those jails, right? Or how about, it's really cold up in Canada. They keep having snowstorms, so let's stop recycling. We need some global warming. It's obviously not happening well enough. Okay, scientific claims out there. How can we as scientists help the public to debunk these? Let's first look, why would there be misinformation out there? There are a lot of reasons. Financial reasons. I worked as a pharmaceutical research scientist, and I know that when my results weren't what the pharmaceutical company would like them to be, they said, oh, you can't publish those. Those are, under the confidentiality agreement. There are political reasons, obviously, where science is twisted to support a particular viewpoint. There are religious reasons. Unfortunately, that happens on both sides. Atheists like to twist science to say that it says something it doesn't. Unfortunately, that happens on our side too, guys. Christians do it too. Twisting it so that it actually says what we would like it to say. And then there's the obvious reason that, well, the reason science, bunk science is put out there is because we don't know. It was only very recently that it was published that calcium supplements aren't really all that good for you and that they can cause lots of health problems. But we didn't know. I mean, it seemed like, well, if lack of calcium causes osteoporosis, more calcium is good. So the more calcium you can take, hey, the better it is, right? No. So the problem is that, as we know, experts and peer-reviewed articles can be wrong. Some things that are scientifically or that are financially advantageous are published. Things that are not are not. Actually, I read an article by a group led by a guy called Turner. He was talking about the selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors. And he was saying that only 8% of negative clinical trials are ever published. But 97% of positive ones are. So is the peer-reviewed literature on those particular medications accurate? Maybe not. Certainly it's not all out there. And also we know that people just make genuine mistakes. Sometimes folks deliberately mislead you. 75% of the public, I found this online so it must be true, is considered to be scientifically illiterate. That may not be accurate. and for that reason, you do hear people saying, well, what we need to do is reestablish the authority of the scientist and get people to believe what we say. But you know what? Scientists can be wrong. And so I really take the other point of view is, let's help the public to be able to think through scientific claims. Sure, they're not going to be able to always assess the technical science, neither can I, But they can at least apply bunk detecting principles. I think it's very important because some treatments that you find and some beliefs can be harmful and some can be deadly. I'm going to be talking about those or one of those in the future just a bit. When I saw that there were issues with integrity in science, I started this organization called the American Institute for Technology and Science Education. That was about 3 years ago. In that time, we have grown. I've now have 30 scientists and physicians working with us, and that's one reason I wanted to talk here. I was like, okay, let's get some more scientists working with me because we need to get a really strong movement to increase integrity in science and to help the public to understand scientific claims. So like I said, we started this. The main goal is to educate the public and give them tools and information to empower them to distinguish between what is real science and what may only be a reflection of what's financially, politically, or even religiously expedient, and help them to understand what's the difference between interpretation, extrapolation, speculation, and, dare I say it, manipulation. And I've given you all a brochure about what we do. So one of our projects, as I've been referring to, is to develop a set of bunk detecting principles, which are things that I'm thinking any person can do when they look at a particular scientific claim to figure out, is it likely to be real science or is it likely to be bunk? Now, violation of one principle does not make something bunk science. Violation of all of them probably does. So it's again, it's a value judgment. And so you'll see that as we go through. Okay, go. Okay, here's principle one. Check if the author claims that something has been proven or declares something to be fact. That's not a scientific statement, that something has been proven or it's a fact. Science points to something, but when people are saying, oh, this has been proven, then they could possibly be trying to manipulate you, or they just might not be speaking accurately. The American Physical Society put out a statement, the evidence is incontrovertible, global warming is occurring. Now, whether it is or not, that's not a scientific statement. And a lot of the scientists there objected, and, you saw some of those online. So they amended the statement to something that's, a little better. The evidence for global temperature change or rise over the last century is compelling. However, the word incontrovertible is rarely used in science because by its nature, science questions prevailing ideas. And so that's something that I think is important for, both the public to understand that when that kind of language is being used, don't be overawed and believe that. On the other hand, that's important for us to know. Because as soon as we start using that kind of language, people stop listening. And so if we want to talk about science and educate people scientifically, we can't be using language like this. Because it right away, puts barriers up. Principle two, check if the author makes claims to have accomplished something beyond that which has actually been done. I found this one online. And actually somebody pointed out to me because they wanted to know if it was right. Someone said with referring to the O-ring and quantum reflex analysis, all mammals are controlled by a sophisticated biofield. Well, when you look up what Dr. Pop actually did publish, he didn't say anything about mammals. Anybody could see that. They could look up what he says and what is being claimed here. He didn't say anything about mammals, and he didn't claim they were controlled by their signals. What he said was they emit signals, kind of like saying they emit warmth. And they say this field is emitted by DNA, and he said it might be something to do with subcellular communication. But these folks on this website are trying to sell you something based on a misinterpretation of what actually Dr. Pop said. So what he actually said was living organisms, not mammals, emit coherent photons, not that they are controlled by them. And so there we are, claiming something beyond which has actually been done. Check if what is said is scientifically accurate. This was a website I found for a pain clinic, which is located in Newport Beach, where he said over 90% of people don't get enough oxygen because their diaphragm is inactive, and 50% of a person's chronic pain is attributed to insufficient oxygen to the brain. I think most elementary school students would know that if you don't get enough oxygen to the brain, you faint. And so then you don't have pain, so maybe, you know. You know, but this is clearly a scientifically ridiculous claim. And so I think, you know, something that I hope, you know, those of us who are teachers are going to do is help our students to actually apply what they're learning in real-life situations, to be able to assess this kind of claim. This guy gets $2,500 per patient. Mm-hmm. Yep.
The higher the cost, the more effective the treatment.
Yeah. he's a pretty scary dude, actually. So there's we are debunking. People with an inactive diaphragm do not experience pain. They're dead. And another thing that is pretty obvious is when you go to the hospital because you're in pain, the doctor doesn't prescribe oxygen. That's not something that is going to relieve pain. All right, here we have principle number 4. Beware of grandiose claims. Here we have a nice grandiose claim. Pomegranate consumption will alter cholesterol levels, fight atherosclerosis and arthritis, heal prostate and other cancers, fight colds and flu, and reverse Alzheimer's disease. Yeah, it's good stuff, that pomegranate. pretty much. Pass the pomegranate juice. Okay? I mean, this is obviously a grandiose claim. If you look at their website, they have a lot more grandiose claims. They say that there are 70 scientific studies that are supporting this claim. The thing is that most people don't actually look through those scientific studies. I went and did the PubMed search on them. That was exciting. And found that the vast majority were done in cells, mice, or rats. Two were done in people. One was uncontrolled, and the other one showed they don't do anything. So, you know, it was kind of like, well, not impressive. Pomegranates are great. And I advocate eating fruit and vegetables, but no, they won't.
This seems I've heard that they can make claims that this, whatever it is, can treat something. Isn't that the case? They always say, well, it supports something, or they beat around the bush. But this seems like you could actually go after them legally.
If when I looked at their website, it looks like someone has, because they're trying to be careful. What they've done is they've put these 70 studies on a different website that you can click to. So it's not on the Palm Wonderful website. It's on a linked website. So they're getting around the legal stuff. So, yeah. And some people don't.
But. Will alter.
Right. And that actually did come from their website. That's a direct quote from their website. So, then we have check if claims can be measured, can be tested scientifically. Can they be measured? If they can't, it's probably not a scientific claim. And again, this is something that, you know, that people can figure out. Okay, this is a wonderful study. You know, you could have a number of questions. Which double-blind study did this, and how could you have a double-blind study with facial stubble and geeky personality? And if they're a secret turn-on, how in the world did they measure that? the sad thing is what I've seen with students is that they don't distinguish this stuff, and they do have to be taught how to do it. And even using ridiculous examples like this, it helps. This was from a website called Evolutionize Your Life. And these people said, if you get evolution, your entire life will be revolutionized. And they said, we have inherited exquisite skills for self-deception. The human brain regularly tricks us and then masterfully hides the evidence. But they, who presumably have human brains, are going to explain it all to us. Yeah. No, obviously not. So, you know, it's sort of like, okay, just, you know, think about it. Think about these things. You will see at the bottom I have links. All these are articles on the Institute's website. And so if you can get out your magnifying glass and see them on the bottom of your handouts, you can also follow the articles and then see the links for where this information came from and see that those things really are out there. You also need to be very careful when an author makes too much of the scientific qualifications of those who are involved, or disparages those who don't agree with their views. Now, that can be very tempting, and there's a lot of folks out there who are doing this. I have been having some fun researching a supplement which is being sold all over the place called Protandim. And on the Protandim website, they say it's a NRF2 inhibitor, and so it reduces your oxidation problems, and you know it actually makes your cells younger. If you look at the website, it's pretty awesome stuff. And they say that it was actually invented by a world-renowned scientist, Dr. Joe McCord. Hands up if you've ever heard of him. Yeah. I looked up Dr. Joe McCord, and he has had one publication per year for about 10 years, and that's it. I'm like, that's fairly not world-renowned. Here's another one. It is disparaging those who don't agree with their views, and this might hit a little closer to home. Only 50% of the American public believe in evolution. This could only be for one of three reasons. Either they're scientifically illiterate, or they're religiously illiterate, or there's a very large, powerful, effective anti-evolution industry. There could be no other reason. There, you know, nobody could have scientific reasons, nobody could question it if they are not scientifically illiterate. Well, what can I say? Again, this is not addressing the arguments, this is disparaging the qualifications of those that you're arguing with. And I think it's kind of fun. There's another person who's at the ASA meeting called Catherine Applegate, who wrote an article about how antibody development parallels evolution. I responded to her. You know what? I don't think either of us are scientifically or theologically illiterate, but we don't agree. And the nice thing about ASA is that's okay. So, you know, just be careful with that, and you know, encourage people to be careful when they hear that stuff. Sorry?
A minute or two, we take questions.
Okay, nearly done. Okay, check that the satisfied customers, experts, etc., are not gaining from their participation. This is back to Protandim. They actually one of their clinical trials. So they say they used company insiders as trial participants. They didn't disclose the author's financial conflicts of interest. Donny Osmond does say that Protandim is a great product. He forgot to disclose he's a paid spokesperson. They even quoted a Helmut Herring from UNM who said that Protandim is a killer application for diabetes. Actually, he doesn't exist. So... the final one is be skeptical. Don't be quick to believe people when it involves your faith, health, or money. We had an 80-year-old woman at our church come to me, and she said, I suddenly gained several pounds, and so I went to the chiropractor. He did a little O-ring test, and he put my fingers like that, and he tried to pull them apart, and that showed that it was either my liver, my kidneys, or in my intestines, and then he did another test, and he found out it was my intestines. He gave me pills, and they worked. Well, those of us who are scientists realize that he gave her diuretics. those of us who have any who have medical knowledge will realize that sudden weight gain like that could be a sign of deadly heart disease. And so that was a very serious thing to have happened. All right, here we have, just to test your bunk detecting skills. Has it been scientifically proven that the world will end in 2012? The answer is actually it's scientifically proven that the world will not end in 2012. Okay, so. So how many bunk detecting principles are being violated? Well, in the interest of time, I'll tell you, if they're asking you to give money like the guy in Alameda did, every single one of them. So, this is just what the Institute is doing to combat bunk. We have a consortium of scientists who are working with us. Again, I'm looking for PhDs who can work with us, so if you want to do that, please tell me. We put out a monthly newsletter. We put out daily updates on Facebook, Twitter, and LinkedIn. And we need your help. And I also, come on, move. We need help for refining the bunk detecting principles. So that's something I'm also inviting people to do. Email me or tell me. And you know, if we can make them better, let us know. And that's it. Yes?
You know, the average person is simply not enough time to do the kind of research you did, call on issues that they expect to come from. So you wonder if you could do the snopes of scientific bunk detecting as
well. Well, yeah.
The QuackWatch is tailored more for patients who are looking at alternative therapies.
Oh, I see. Okay. Yeah, I mean, what we do is we link to a lot of those things, and I work with a lot of those folks to kind of, you know, sort of bring it together. And, you know, we do put out a lot of information for people.
I wonder if there was some place like Snopes you just could go to, you know, and type in your urban legend, decided bunk stuff, and then have a little article that said, yes, this is bunk, this is why, and so on.
Yeah.